The Eden Pure Thunderstorm BOGO offer is on. This offer is for 1 week only and ends at midnight on Sunday. For allergies, pet smells, or any odor you need to get rid of, the Thunderstorm Air Purifier is the answer. Go to EdenPureDeals.com and use discount code Howie. That's EdenPureDeals.com, discount code Howie. Shipping is free.
The numbers are in. Listeners are voting often and early for Grace Curley, just like they did for her adopted grandfather. From year one to number one.
Make it so, number one.
You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald, the Spectator, and the Daily Mail.
You got to bring in a new voice, a young voice, a rising voice, Grace Curley.
Now, live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, the millennial with the mic, the Grace Curley Show.
Especially Grace. Grace, stand up.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show, and happy Tuesday to all of you. Thank you so much for tuning in. We have a fantastic, that's right, I said it, a fantastic show planned for you today. It is Tuesday, so we're going to have Toby Leary on. I haven't been able to talk to Toby in a couple weeks, so I'm very excited to hear from him. And we also have Caroline Levitt joining us in the 1 o'clock. And I, you know, she's become a Newsmax contributor. She's going to be doing a lot of fill-in work for me as well. And I've been watching her on Newsmax. I watched her a lot over the weekend covering Trump's stop in New Hampshire. And I have so many questions for her. Plus, you know, we're going to get into this in a second, but the Trump-DeSantis feud is kind of boiling up now. It's really only Trump who's cranking up the flames. DeSantis hasn't said anything, but we'll get her take on it. Plus, for our New Hampshire listeners and people that are interested in what's going on in the Granite State, I also want to ask about Chris Sununu, because I keep seeing him on Fox every day. And I think we all knew that he was going to run, but for the first time, we have pretty much confirmation from Chris Sununu that he does have presidential aspirations, which, you know, join the club. Who doesn't when it comes to these Republicans? So we'll ask Caroline for her take on that as well. Now, speaking of Republicans, I wanted to give you guys this headline. George Santos is stepping down from his committee assignments. Now, I have to tell you this. When I first read it, my eyes tricked me. You know, sometimes you read something real fast, Jared, and it becomes a reality. I thought he was stepping down, resigning, period. So I came into the green room and I said, well, this is the story. This is the poll question. And Jared said, no. He's just stepping down from his House committees. And I said, okay, well, I wonder what lie finally, I wonder what was the straw that broke the camel's back. What was the lie that pushed him over the limits?
I just got to say, and I, you know.
Oh, gosh. I knew we were going to. Okay.
Santos, it was funny at first. It's like, oh, okay, this guy's kind of quirky, you know, whatever. But I was like, I love this guy. He's, you know, he's just, he doesn't care.
You were saying that
this
morning.
I love him even more now. And this is why. I don't like that he's a liar. But this guy basically lies his way into Washington. And then, you know what? He's like, yeah, no, I can't serve on any committees. So he's going to sit there for 2 years, basically do nothing. Like, I love him for that. I love the fact that he was just like, you know what? Yeah, I'm going to go down there and I'm going to do nothing. Like, it's a great story. I can respect that. What a gig.
It's a great story. It's a tale as old as time.
Right? What a great gig for this guy.
This is like quiet quitting, but in Congress.
Yeah. And you know what? Anybody,
the trend of quiet quitting.
Anybody who goes down there and doesn't do anything in Congress is a hero to me.
Yeah,
and
well,
this is like
what?
The highest level not doing anything. And I got to say, you know what? Santos 2024, baby.
Jared,
I'm on the Santos train.
Sometimes you come on here and you make a case and I look at you, and I think the Rumble Cam viewers know, I look at you like you have three heads. And that's just the kind of takes you sometimes come out with. But
that is true.
This one, you're starting to win me over.
The only thing better than a guy who breaks everything is a guy who does nothing. And I am on board for this.
Yeah, and in the process of doing nothing, it looks like he's giving in a little bit. You know, like, okay, I will. I'll resign. I'll step down from these committees. And really, Jared's right. He's just taking work off of his plate, you know? He's going to be like George Costanza.
Can't hate the man for living the dream, you know?
Well, I am curious, though, when you drill down, like, what lie finally he saw get exposed and thought, ooh, this one's going to be hard to come back from. I think some people would think it was the lying to the veteran about helping his sick dog.
Yeah, that was bad.
We found out he was a drag queen from Brazil, but again, that wouldn't be a lie that would get you in trouble. You'd be celebrated. His Jewish ancestry, Jared, that one was tough.
That was also terrible.
I'm Jewish. That's hard to come back from.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
That was one of the first ones. There's been so many.
You know what? I rescind my statement about how much I like this guy.
Respect the game, though. You're all over the map today. And what are we, like four minutes into the show?
I've had a cranky kid. I have slept like maybe an hour
He's delusional.
Since Saturday.
You could tell Jared anything you want right now. He'd be like, yep, I'm on board with that. Well, whatever it is, he's off these House committees, and he said, Jared, that he's going to wait for things to settle down. Like, he's not officially giving it up. He's saying, let's just let the dust settle. It's giving Sam Bankman-Fried. All these chronic liars, they want everybody to calm down. Let's not be rash here. Let's not do anything too suddenly. We need to think this through. And I don't know how any of this gets settled. Like, aside from the fact, I was sitting at my desk today, and I was thinking, how does this settle down? Like, once you reach a certain amount of lies, the thing about Joe Biden is he peppers these in. He's peppered these in throughout a 95-year career. You know, Jared, so you're giving people one, you're letting it soak in, you say it a couple more times, it's not a lie if you believe it. Soon it becomes kind of folklore that veers into folksiness, whatever they want to call it. But with Santos, time's not on his side right now. These came at us fast and furious. Vin Diesel. We got one after the next. And then the photo of him dressed up as a drag queen from Brazil, it was like something out of a movie. The Santos identity. The talented Mr. Santos. So I was thinking, I was sitting at my desk, I'm like, now how does this get settled? Or settled down? And the only thing I could think of is if an evil twin, like something out of Young and the Restless, comes forward. Otherwise, I'm not sure how we wrap this up with the bow. This seems pretty messy to me. The horses are out of the barn.
Yeah, settled down is a weird term.
I don't think this is going to settle down. Now, it's probably a relief for Kevin McCarthy, the Speaker of the House, and other Republicans. And, you know, I've kind of changed my mind because for a long time, I will say this, I'm happy he's not giving up his seat, because I am of the firm belief, and I know not everybody feels this way. I know that there's a lot of integrity-filled Republicans who would disagree with me. But I'm of the belief that what's good for the goose is good for the gander. And if it's okay for Dick Blumenthal and Elizabeth Warren and Joe Biden to lie, that was one thing Trump said over the weekend, you know, that George Santos has had some whoppers. The only one I know with this many whoppers was Joe Biden. So I do think there's a lot of Democrats, and I think that what's fair is fair. If it's okay for them to lie, then it should be okay for anybody to lie. Now, if you don't like that, if you say, Grace, well, that's a horrible precedent to set, I've suggested the swaparooski. We'll take George Santos off. You take some of your liars off. We'll do a little trade. But what I will say is I wouldn't blame Republicans if it wasn't so much that they caved to the pressure, if it actually comes from a place of we just don't want to work with this guy. We just really don't. We can find somebody better. Then I won't have an issue with it. But if they're doing anything to appease the left, to appease the alligator, that will tick me off. So there's just a little nuance to that. Now, another big story today. The Biden administration announced an end to the COVID-19 emergency declaration, Jared. So finally, how many years has it been? And the day that it all ends will be May 11th, springtime. And this is ridiculous for a few reasons. So I kind of want to lay them out for you. One is that Biden told us the emergency was over in September. Now, I'm someone who, when Joe Biden tells me something, I take it to heart. You know, I take
his
advice.
You got his word as a Biden.
I got his word as a Biden. I took it to the bank. So take a listen. This is a flashback. This is Joe Biden, cut 12 on 60 Minutes, where a lot of these cuts that aren't aging well are coming from 60 Minutes. This is cut 12.
Is the pandemic over?
The pandemic is over. We still have a problem with COVID. We're still doing a lot of work on it. But the pandemic is over. If you notice, no one's wearing masks. Everybody seems to be in pretty good shape.
So now he's saying, well, the pandemic will be over on May 11th. Now, besides the fact that he comes off like a huge hypocrite, what else is new? It's also funny timing because Representative Thomas Massey revealed that Republicans this week are voting to end the COVID emergency. So the Biden administration knows that. So they're just trying to beat them to the punch and say, like, oh, no, we already plan to end it. Just ridiculous. So we'll talk about that a little bit. When did the pandemic end for you is a good question. But for a lot of these Democrats, I mean, there's still people who it's still ongoing. And I'm not saying people don't get COVID. I'm not saying people don't get sick. You shouldn't do what you have to do. But on one hand, and this is really where I continue to kind of hold the Biden administration accountable, is that you cannot have it both ways. If the pandemic is over, and so we have to allow more illegal aliens, and there's already so many who are crossing the border, but we have to allow thousands more, hundreds of thousands more, because we don't have Title 42, or the Biden administration wants to repeal Title 42. So if the pandemic's over in that sense, then why isn't it over when they want to extend the pause on loan payments, whether it be student loans, rent moratorium? They want to use this pandemic where it fits for them. And it's becoming increasingly obvious to anyone with two eyes. Now, we'll talk about that. I want to get into the DeSantis-Trump feud. And also, today's a big day, as a lot of you who follow Howie Carr and his show know. It is the vote for the chair of the Mass GOP. And I was perusing the Boston Herald today. I'm going to ask Howie about this, because Battenfield had a comment that was, or a column, I'm sorry, that was kind of going the opposite of what Howie's saying. So Battenfeld is pro-Jim Lyons. Howie's anti-Jim Lyons. And we'll talk about it with him at the car crossover. Like, what's really going to go down tonight? His predictions. 844-500-4242. Tons to discuss. We got the pandemic. We got George Santos. We've got great sound. Joe Biden was in a Hummer yesterday, Jared. I hadn't seen a Hummer in years. And he was in an electric Hummer.
He was also at a train. So he was in his glory.
Oh, boy.
You know, like you see, if you take your dog for a walk and they roll around in like fresh grass,
yeah,
that they like. That's pretty much what Joe was like at the Baltimore trains yesterday.
And he dropped a new humble brag about the trains, that he had the key. Yes, that he had the key to the train. Is it like the key to the city? I don't know what the key does for you.
We don't know. It's a key to the back room of the train.
This is like the
whatever that is.
This is like the Polar Express. You know, it's a magic train. And I heard that, and I thought, nothing is going to stop this dude from bragging about things that nobody cares about. It's the lamest brags going in the United States of America. We'll talk about all this and we'll take your calls when we come back. You've asked, you've waited, and now it is here for 1 week only. The best-selling Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier BOGO sale is on. And I think this is a perfect time to get one, Jared, because what I'm noticing is when I don't turn my Thunderstorm on and I'm gone for a few days and I come back, because all the windows are shut, there's no ventilation. So a lot of people are going into a house, the air is stale. Sometimes it smells bad. And you just got to keep that air moving. This is the perfect way to do it.
Yeah, especially now. This is great timing, since it's going to be minus 800 all week, and you won't even be able to open the windows. The thunderstorm is great for getting rid of odors in your house, but it also, like Grace said, moves the air around. It's great for my allergies, which this time of year allergies aren't that big a deal, but dust builds up in the house. You don't feel like cleaning in the winter. It's cold. You don't want to move. The Eden Pure Thunderstorm is great. It ionizes the air, which gets rid of any pollutants and allergens and nasty stuff in the air that you don't want to be breathing.
And plus, if you're cooking, you know, if you cook on a stovetop, if you cook on a gas stove, which, first of all, how dare you? But second of all, that can really stink up the house. And you turn on the ventilator thing above the stove, that works, but sometimes you need something a little extra, you know, to really get that stink out. And this is the way to do it. Ask anyone who's bought one. I know Jared's got one. I have one in my kitchen that I love. And they'll tell you how well the Eden Pure Thunderstorm works for allergies, pet smells, or any odor you need to get rid of. The Thunderstorm air purifier is the answer. And the BOGO sale is on right now. How do you take advantage of it? Well, I'm going to tell you. Go to EdenPureDeals.com, and you want to use discount code GRACE. If you want to get that buy one, get one offer, you go to EdenPureDeals.com, discount code GRACE. This expires Sunday, so get your hands on the BOGO offer before it runs out. Shipping is free, which is great. That's EdenPureDeals.com, discount code GRACE. We will be right back. We'll take all of your calls. This is the Grace Curley Show.
Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley. Who's better than Grace Curley?
Nobody. Nobody. Nobody.
This is the Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. The number is 844-500-4242. I'm very excited to talk to Caroline Levitt because I got some questions for her, too, about Newsmax being dropped from DirecTV. I know she's been on Twitter talking about it. She was on Howie Show talking about it. And a lot of people are texting in about it. So I think that would be a good topic to bring up with Caroline as well. I'm looking at the cut sheet, Jared, and my eyes must be deceiving me because there is no possible way, there is no possible way that Kamala Harris is talking about school buses again. It just, it cannot be true.
It is, in fact, true.
You know, yesterday we talked about the VP because people are a little nervous for her. You know, Fox was just running a segment on it. Is Biden...
Underwhelming was the term they used for her tenure.
That...
The View...
That would summarize it. Yeah, that's I have no problem with that word, underwhelming. And some people think that based off Elizabeth Warren's interview over the weekend with WGBH, that the Dems are kind of circling and getting ready to take over, to push her out, to Wally Pip her, you might say. And then I see this cut that she's still talking about school buses. And it's like, you know what, Kamala, I can't help you. I can't help you. And obviously no one else can help her either, Jared. Obviously there is no one on her team
who left.
Who is it? Well, yes, left. She's had an incredible turnover rate, especially when you compare it to anyone, but especially when you compare it to Joe Biden, who's kept everybody except for TJ Ducklow on board. But also there's got to be people who are saying to her, hey, the school bus thing, it's not working. The Venn diagram stuff, the space stuff, you got to give up. So I have to assume people are telling her this and she's just not coachable. She's not listening. She's still going out. That is how much she loves these school buses. She will not be stopped. We'll play that for you in a little bit. But as we're talking about the dynamic duo, Biden and Harris, I wanted to read here a text from 516. If you ever want to text in, the number is 617-213-1066. 516 says, Curly, at least George Santos drops his lies once he is busted. Biden recycles his lies for 50 years. Yeah, but that's kind of part of the beauty of Biden, is that he recycles them so often.
These are facts. Check them out.
That they become like ingrained in your memory and you don't know. You don't know what's true and what's false. Everything becomes very fuzzy. And I think that's kind of the strategy. And we'll talk more about this. We'll play a sound cut that is, this is how it's described on my cut sheet, okay? Biden brags about having a key to the back of the train, then tells someone to tell their dead predecessor about it, whilst acknowledging that their predecessor is dead. Yup, that makes sense. That feels like Joe Biden.
That is the most Joe Biden cut ever.
Jared sent it to me this morning, and he goes, how Joe Biden is this caption cut? And I said, I don't understand it. So it's 110% Joe Biden. Now, today's poll question, it's a local poll question. So if you feel the need to dial in about it, and if you're very passionate about this, now's the time. Today's poll question is brought to you by J.J. Manning Auctioneers. Whether residential, commercial, or land, J.J. Manning can get your property sold now. To learn more, contact Charlie Gill at 800-521-0111 or go to jjmanning.com. That's 800-521-0111. Jared, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Today's poll question, which you can vote in at gracecurlyshow.com, is, now that sports betting is legal in Massachusetts, do you plan to place any bets? Yes, no, or I've been placing bets this whole time, even while it wasn't legal.
I have a feeling most people are going to be choice three, because there's a lot of people who bet on sports every weekend and they're not, you know, doing it legally. For me, Jared, I'm not a gambler. I love the song Gambler by Kenny Rogers, but I'm not a gambler. However, now it's going to be very accessible for people in Massachusetts via their mobile phones. And that was a huge part of this piece in the Boston Globe. So that might be fun to place a bet on the Super Bowl, especially because I don't have a dog in this fight.
Right.
Maybe, you know, amp up the stakes a little bit. So I'm going to say yeah, sure.
Only 11% say yes. 9% say they've been gambling this whole time, and 80% say no, they will not place bets, even though it's legal.
Not a lot of gamblers in the crowd. All right, we'll talk more about this, and we're going to talk Trump versus DeSantis when we come back. Don't go anywhere. This is the Grace Curley Show.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Are these new green buses going to keep their signature yellow color?
These are going to remain yellow school buses, because who doesn't love a yellow school bus? They will remain yellow, but their heart will be green.
All right, so technically, do I have some explaining to do? Yeah, so she was egged on by a reporter. Is that a reporter, Jared, or you told me that's like a kid?
Yeah, that was from Kids Scoop Media, which is kind of like a kids news show from what I gathered. And he was a teenager, he was a high school kid.
You could have told me that was a reporter
the
from
White House Press Corps?
Yeah, ABC or NBC or CNN, and I would have said, yeah, that tracks. That is the caliber of questions.
He's got to go to the CIA before he goes there first, but he'll get there.
Yeah, I mean, he's a little bit of a saboteur. He set her up for that. He knew. He's like, she can't resist. She cannot resist a question about a school bus. And she fell for it, hook, line, and sinker. Okay, but we're not just going to talk about Kamala here. We're not just going to talk about Biden. We're going to get to a bunch of stories, because we have a really jam-packed show, Jared. So we got to kind of check some of this stuff off before we bring on our first guest, Caroline Leavitt, in the 105 segment. Now, let's play this cut we're talking about regarding Joe Biden. He is once again braggadocio about the weirdest things. Jared, give us a little info, though, on this event.
So this was a bipartisan infrastructure event. This was an infrastructure event in Baltimore. There was a covered bridge, which Joe mentioned he'd been through 1,000 times on his quest across the Americas with a pocket full of dreams and a hobo sack or whatever on his way to the Senate.
Grapes of wrath.
anyway, so they're redoing this bridge, and they're renaming this bridge in this part of line after Frederick Douglass, the abolitionist writer. Everybody should be familiar with him.
Right.
So this was an event in Baltimore. So right out of the gate.
And you said it yesterday. You said he's going to talk about Joey Baby because it involves trains and he can't help himself.
And this was legitimately right out of the gate, walks up to the podium, rolls into this story.
Okay. And I just want to let people know before we even play it, the caption of this soundbite is, Joe Biden brags about having a key to the back of the train, then tells someone to tell their dead predecessor about it while acknowledging their predecessor is dead. So let's have cut six.
Anytime I see a train door open, I head for it. By the way, I can say it now since I know there's different leadership. I used to about 15% of the time ride with the engineers, for real. And I'm the only guy that I was aware of when I stopped riding Amtrak that had a key to get in the back. So you can tell your predecessor, he's gone after that.
But if you are able to talk to ghosts like Joe is, talk to people who have passed, then maybe you could tell your predecessor. Just putting that out there. The weirdest brags of all time. And I've heard people say some stupid brags. Like, everybody does that, you know? I've never had chocolate before? Like, people really come up with things to make themselves feel special, myself included. But to go around and talk about how much you've ridden the train, or how you had a key card to the train. And this is pretty funny. Some of my texters are getting concerned. They're starting to wonder, Jared, if the Amtrak and all of these trains are up to snuff, if everything's running right. And I have news for you. It's not. Okay?
So this person, Mayor Pete's in charge.
This person, 617, said, I just turned on the radio. Biden said something about having the key to a train. That would be a huge no-no. Union rules, safety laws, everything would be an issue. JD, listen, JD, this is the least of our worries, okay? Joe Biden having a train ticket or card in 1922, whenever he was riding the Amtrak, not a concern of mine. The guy's got the nuclear codes. Let's all have some perspective.
Yeah. I mean, how else are you going to get from coast to coast to coast?
To coast to coast to coast to coast.
The three coasts of the United States.
Hey, you just talked about how, are they renaming the bridge or is it a new bridge and it's just being named?
They're redoing the bridge. So it's going to be the same bridge, I think.
Okay, because this whole...
They honestly didn't pay that much attention.
Well, I'm not going to blame you for that, okay? There's a lot of cuts here. But this whole issue of renaming things is actually in the news today. And I might have someone on for it tomorrow because the College Fix, which is a cool publication, they do a lot of these big stories. They reached out to our team here and they said, you know, we'd love to come on the show. And then today I happen to be reading this story involving the College Fix. So listen to this. It says, university, now this is from Red State, but they mentioned the College Fix. It says, university removes slave-owning benefactor's name. His family demands their $51 million back. Now, legally, I think it's probably really hard to prove that you should get this money back, but I love the idea. You know, I love the idea behind it because this happens all the time, and it happens especially in a lot of these universities. So let me kind of lay this out for you, okay? The situation dates back to 1846 when a man named Thomas C. Williams attended Richmond College. In the 1880s, he served as a trustee. Now, this is from the Richmond Times-Dispatch. After his death, his family made a gift to the college that helped establish the law school. And Richmond College began referring to said law school as the T.C. Williams School of Law. That was then, this is now. In September of 2022, the University of Richmond Board voted unanimously to change the name to the University of Richmond School of Law. Now, the president issued a letter. He said he knew the people were not happy about this, but this is what they were going to do. And now, this is where it gets a little bit dicey because the family is not happy. And they feel like not only should you give us back the gift that our ancestor gave to the school, but you should have to pay interest. So it says 6 months before TC's booting, before they decided to rename the school, half a dozen campus buildings were relabeled. Gone were references to those who possessed slaves, including Robert Ryland, the school's president in 1840. Because TC Williams, the guy who's this law school was named after, he owned a successful tobacco business and he owned 25 to 40 slaves. Now, this is what TC's great-grandson explained in a letter to the president. He said, if suddenly his name is not good enough for the university, then isn't the proper ethical and indeed virtuous action to return the benefactor's money with interest? It is not a form of fraud to induce money from a benefactor and then discredit the benefactor after he is long dead. Surely the Williams family would not have given a penny to the university knowing that the university would later dishonor the family. I think that's a pretty good case to make.
Yeah.
And you know what? I'm sure there's like lawyers out there who are going, no, that's not going to fly. They're never going to get this money back. But I'm happy that this is being brought up because we rename all of these things. And every single time I think, I wonder what the family makes of this. Because it is a slap in the face. Now, it says at a 6% compounded interest over 132 years, TC's gift to the law school alone is now valued at over $51 million. And this does not include many other substantial gifts from my family to the university. He said the bottom line, the ethical and virtuous. I like how he keeps using that word virtuous because that's what it's all about. You know what I mean? That's the reason they do this. It's not just to dishonor this guy and his family and his ancestors. It's also it's to virtue signal to the crazy students at this school that we're on your side. Do not pick up your pitchforks against us. We are on your team. We're renaming things. We're taking down statues. We're donating to all of the right causes. Please just leave us alone. Please. He says the ethical and virtuous decision is clear. Return the money. He went on to tell the College Fix that his family has sent the president 20 unreturned emails asking for the evidence regarding their ancestors' slavery connection.
All of that seems very reasonable to me. And if you're Richmond University, why would you want that tainted money to begin with?
Absolutely. It's a great point.
It is truly the virtuous thing to do to give it back.
you got to return this money, whether it is coming from someone who owned slaves or coming from someone who scammed people, a la SBF. This money, you got to get rid of it. It's dirty money. You don't want it. You don't want it, so give it back. And another big story today, I was talking to Emma about this, pro-life activist Mark Hauk. Is it Hauk or Hauk?
Hauk.
Hauk. Okay, good. Got it right the first time, damn it. Found not guilty of violating the FACE Act. You might not remember this story. This one took me a minute to remember. Pro-life activist and Catholic father of seven, Mark Hauk, was found not guilty on Monday on federal assault charges brought by President Joe Biden's Department of Justice. He pushed a Planned Parenthood escort twice on October 13th, 2021. Even though local authorities declined to press charges, Hauk said he pushed the escort, 73-year-old Bruce Love, because Bruce was verbally harassing his 12-year-old son as he was sidewalk counseling outside the abortion clinic. The DOJ sent a team. Now, this is where it might ring a bell for people, because this was all over the news at one point. The DOJ sent a team of FBI agents to his home in September, allegedly arresting him at gunpoint in front of his wife and children. And, you know, there was a cut over the weekend. I didn't have you pull it, Jared, because I'm not trying to drive you mad before Wednesday. We've got to get halfway through the week before you go completely crazy. But there was a cut of Congressman Jim Jordan on with Chuck Todd, and they were talking about these school board committees and how Chuck Todd doesn't see a problem with these parents being investigated or the DOJ getting involved. And first of all, Jim Jordan, who is, when you listen to him talk, the guy is really, really smart. He laid out how quickly this all came together. Like, okay, we got a death threat from a parent to a school board committee member. 5 days later, the DOJ is putting out this letter. 6 days later, this is happening. Seven. And he said to Chuck Todd, you ever seen these organizations work this quickly before? And Chuck Todd's point is, well, shouldn't you want these people investigated if someone has a death threat against someone? Shouldn't you want them investigated? And what's the problem? If they didn't, and really it all always comes back to, if they don't find anything, then it's no big deal. And Jim Jordan's point, which was brilliant, is sometimes it's about the chilling effect this has. If people start to feel like, I'm not going to go to a peaceful pro-life protest, or I'm not going to stand outside an abortion clinic and try to stop a young woman from getting an abortion, because if I get into any altercation or if I exchange words with someone, I'm going to be on a list from the DOJ, or I'm not going to go to the school board meeting. And this was Jim Jordan's point. He said, you know how many parents look at that and they go, I don't want the FBI showing up in my house. I just won't go to a school board meeting. I'll stay home. He goes, it's the chilling effect. That should bother you. And of course it doesn't bother Chuck Todd, because he's on the side of the people knocking on the door saying, come out with your hands up. Hands where I can see them. But this should bother everybody. 844-500-4242. And one last story I want to get to here before we go to break. We talked about this yesterday, Jared. We talked about the migrants outside the Watson Hotel. And this is in New York City. And I loved how, I think it was David Marcus wrote this on Twitter. He said, listening to Eric Adams talk about this, it's the most New York thing, where he really believes, like, this is the first time this has happened. There's no part of him that goes, oh, now I get how people in El Paso feel. No, because he's a New Yorker, and I'd love for New Yorkers to chime in, because he's a New Yorker, he's like, can you believe this? This is all brand new. This is crazy. Look what's happening to us. And most people across the country are going, well, yeah, this is what happens. This is what happens when you have open borders. But we talked yesterday about how there's these migrants outside of the Watson Hotel. They will not leave. A lot of them are single adult males. Because now what New York City wants to do is take these single adult males from the Watson Hotel, and they would like to move them to a Brooklyn facility. Now, I think it's like the Brooklyn Cruise Terminal. And these single adult males do not want to go. What do I always say? It's flowers for Algernon. How are you going to do it? You know, you can't give someone a really good room in a hotel and then say, hey, we misread your reservation. You're actually supposed to be on the red level or the blue level, and you got to come down. You got to repack all your stuff. No, people see the spread. They want to stay. So these single adult males are like, no, we're not getting on a bus. We're not going to the cruise terminal. That doesn't sound. And you know what? They're right. It doesn't sound as posh as the Watson Hotel. Most of us, if we had to choose one, we'd go with that.
See, that's why I got to use the Martha's Vineyard model. Get them out of there before they know how nice it is.
Yeah, but not everyone can be as kind and generous as the good people of Martha's Vineyard. But this is what I like, and I'll talk more about it when we come back. The Post editorial board had a really great column. And Jared, remember yesterday I said to you, these activists who they got the cardboard signs and the markers ready to go at a moment's notice. Well, the title of this piece from the New York Post is "Don't Blame the Migrants, Blame the Lefty Activists Filling Them with Nonsense." And I was thinking the same thing. I'm like, what people are there egging this on? And they all want to be anonymous to the New York Post. You know, they're part of these organizations. They don't want to give their full names because they're so proud of what they're doing. But they're egging on this mentality of, you know, you're the victim. Like, they shouldn't move you. This is unfair. So we'll talk about that. I'll read a little bit from the New York Post when we come back. It's 844-500-4242. A lot more to get to today. Do not go anywhere. This is the Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to the Grace Curley Show. This is the Grace Curley Show.
Here's how I decided to map it out. We're having Caroline Levitt, Newsmax contributor at 105 from New Hampshire. We're going to talk Sununu, DeSantis, Trump. Then I think at 1:30, Jared, that'd be a perfect time to kind of throw this question out there for people. So what's going on? What's your current take on Trump versus DeSantis? Trump's putting out a lot of Truth Socials. Now he's attacking DeSantis's strategy on COVID and how he handled COVID, which I think is a huge mistake. We will discuss that. But as of right now, we were just talking about the Amtrak, and I got a text in saying this is what happens, you know, that these government agencies are falling apart. And it got me thinking, because it's like, this is kind of after decades and decades and decades of everybody getting their brother on or their cousin on, or you see it here in Boston all the time, Billy Bulger's brother, Billy Bulger's cousin. It's all, you know, nepotism. It's all doing a favor for so-and-so. The brain trust eventually starts to get watered down, where no one's in there because they can actually do the job. They're just in there out of favors and handshakes. And then we're all surprised when everything's dysfunctional. The good thing is Joe Biden has a giant key, so maybe he can go in the back and fix it. But Jared, you actually had a theory on this.
Yeah, so we're now about 50 years removed from the 70s, 1975. So 50 years is two full generations. So now we have two full generations of people who largely never had to fight in World War II, or Korea, or Vietnam, or any type of conflict like that, never had to live through a Great Depression, never had to really fend for themselves, never had to learn how to fix their car, never had to learn how to do practical things like that. So we have two full generations of academia who are just running everything based on the theory of running everything.
Like the Pete Buttigieg types.
Yes.
I took a class on this at Harvard, so I know how to, you know, run transportation.
And unfortunately, there is the business of life. There is the business of doing things in the real world. And we have two generations of people who can't do that, who have power.
Boom. Mic drop. Jared Diglio. I'm going to have to cut that up and make it into a promo. When we come back, Caroline Levitt, your favorite woman from New Hampshire, joins the show to talk 2024. Do not go anywhere.